It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? It's a great day. I'm glad you've joined us today. We're in the Gospel of John, the book of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And please, we're going to begin reading with the fourth chapter. We've gotten down through the eighth verse last time, but we're going to review that because there's just so much there. It's worth a second look, or a third and a fourth and a fifth. There's so much in this this precious scripture, so please enjoy it with me if you would, please. And again, we're in John chapter 4, and while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. And so please, I hope that was enough time now for you to prepare for the study and be ready. And again, the Gospel of John, John chapter 4, we're going to begin reading with verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judah and departed again to Galilee. He must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary from his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knowest the gift of God, and how it is, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. And the woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Wonderful verses of Scripture. Please, let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank and praise you that we can come together and have this opportunity to study your precious Word. I just ask that you'll guide and lead all of us as we have this study today, as we look to this precious book, the book of John, the Gospel of John, and continue to glean over these verses of Scripture and even sometimes repeating them over and over again. It's just such a powerful, powerful book. And so please, dear Lord, guide and lead us today. Speak to our hearts now. And Father, we just thank you that we can have this study together and just have the ears listening. Those that do not know you as their Savior do not have the ability to listen. Oh, they're hearing, but they must trust in you as their Savior before they can really listen and really learn. And so please, dear Lord, today that those who do not know you will come to the cross of Calvary, where you died on that cross and you rose again 3 days later. Please, dear Lord, all we have to do is believe that, come by faith to you. The Spirit of God will guide and lead us, and we thank and praise you that by trusting in you by faith, now I can come, Father, right to you. Thank you. Now please guide and lead us today in this study. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to back all the way up to the into the third chapter here just for a little bit. These words The Jews despised the Lord Jesus. They rejected his words. And we have learned that in looking through the third chapter. And the Word of God is so clear. And we got to that 36th verse of chapter 3. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And so we need to realize that by the Jews despising the Lord Jesus, rejecting his word, it's actually setting into place something that's coming very soon, within about 3 years, and that is the crucifixion, the death of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. This hatred, this despising, yes, it was when it took place through the Roman courts, but the Jews were the drive behind it that brought it to pass. But you need to realize that it wasn't just the Jews that brought it to pass. It wasn't Rome that brought it to pass. It was because of you and me, because of the sin that we were born in, and Jesus had to die on the cross. He'd set forth before the foundations of the world how this was going to come, and it has. It's come and taken place. But right here, because of this rejection, because the Jews despised Jesus and rejected his word, this is putting into place what will come to pass. And Jesus knows the hearts of man. He knew the path that it was going to take. And so we find that right here. We also now, when we begin with this fourth chapter, that was just a slight review of the third, and a little bit of the third there. But when the fourth chapter begins, now when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, we find that this is a prophetic truth. This is a prophecy that will come to pass, because right here now in this third verse, we find that he's left Judah and departed to Galilee. Well, something is about to take place now, and we're going to get back here in just a minute to that first verse, but we need to understand that not only it started with the Jews despising Jesus, rejecting him, and then that rejection then turns over to the God, literally, Jesus literally moves over to the Gentiles. We find that we know this because when you read the third verse and it says, and left Judah and departed into Galilee, you think, well, wait a minute here, that's all Canaan, that's all Jews. But you'll find in Matthew chapter 4, verse 15, and let's go back to there, Matthew chapter 4, go to the 15th verse. And it is called Galilee of the Gentiles, if you look at the end of that verse. Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. So you see, it's called the Galilee of the Gentiles. So literally, when Jesus turns to go up to Galilee, it is really a turn and a rejection of his own people, of Israel, of whom he come to save, and yet they have rejected him. So this, when we look at these verses of Scripture here, and I want to kind of stay with that third verse and this rejection, then we're going to move up to the Pharisees here a little earlier back in the first verse again and talk about this baptism and things like that in the first and second verse. But in this third verse, he left Judah and departed again into Galilee. Now, he must needs go through Samaria. Jesus, as we look at the Jews, they refused to go through Samaria. They would literally go around the country. And so by him going in that direction, if you look on the map from Jerusalem up to the land of Galilee, you'll find that this place of Sychar is about halfway. Samaria is about halfway. And so as they head up or a third to halfway, as the Jews refuse to even go through that land, because these Samaritans, and we're going to talk about that probably next time we get together, the Samaritans are a mixture of people. And at the time, you were not to intermarry out of the Jewish people. You were not even to leave your tribe, let alone marry someone out of that. And due to the time of captivity and everything that's taken place, the Samaritan people, a mixture of people, came into that land, and then the Jews begin to intermarry with them, and so to be intermarried with them was to pollute the Jewish people, and the Jews and their law and their rule, they were as dogs. I mean, that's just like a Gentile and maybe worse. And so they had nothing to do with the Samaritans, nothing. And as we look at this area here, isn't it something how he leaves the religious crowd and he goes into Samaria? The 40th verse of this book tells us that the that he tarried there after meeting this woman at the well. And again, I'm really jumping ahead, but I want to kind of get a basis started here for you. I want you to see something. He is going to the Gentiles, Galilee of the Gentiles. He's in Samaria, so he has left the Jews. He has looked now to the Samaritans. And this 40th verse says that he besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode 2 days, 2 days with the Samaritans. And I want you to see something because I really think it's neat, and I hope you do too. If we look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, you wonder why we're not just moving right through here. Well, I want you to see this. 2 Peter chapter 3, the 8th verse. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Now, let's think about that for just a little bit. 2 days. He left, he abode there 2 days. This is the first time that he has dealt with the Gentiles, with someone other than the Jews. And right now we're in the church age, which the Jews have been set aside, and the Gentiles have been given this wonderful opportunity, this free grace is given to us. It's called the church age. And so we're in the church age right now. How long did he abode in Samaria with these folks? 2 days. To the Lord, 2 days is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is to 2 days. And so if you would look at that, you'll realize that it's been about 2,000 years. Well, isn't it something, my friend, that from the birth of Jesus to today is 2,000 years? We need to be ready, because, my friend, he's coming again. We have so many verses of Scripture that support the time, the contrary to what the world is saying today. The world is the world tells us, the brains of the world tells us that this earth and its creation and the stars of the sky are billions of years old. They're not. God's creation is approximately 6,000 years old. 6,000 years old. And so we have 4,000 years prior to the birth of Christ and 2,000 years afterwards. We find here that he leaves the Jews and he comes to the Gentiles. For 2 days, he's in Samaria. Take that from 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, and you see that 1,000 years is as one day. So now we have 2,000 years. That 2 days, 2,000 years, we're to 6,000 years right now. 6,000 years is the period of time for man. The number 6 is for man. So now isn't that something now that 4,000 years before the birth of Christ, and again, that's all the older this whole world is. You don't listen to the rest of them. They're just trying to figure out. They're just trying not to believe there's a God. And so they've got to go back billions and billions of years in order to establish that. They need to establish that lie, and the only way they can make any credibility to it is to back way up so things have time to evolve. Well, they have not evolved. God created man. He created the animals. And has things changed a little bit? Yes, they've changed a little bit because of sin. But they have not, my friend, evolved for billions of years, nor millions of years, just thousands of years, and just 6,000. And so from the birth of Christ, now we're to 2,000 years into that time, and as the number 6 is the number of man, the number 7 is the number of perfection, and our Lord Jesus will come and rule and reign here on this earth for 1,000 years, according to the Word of God, for 1,000 years. And so you see, there's the 7. Perfect. Jesus will rule and reign. And so, my friend, you better be ready. You better trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, because whether you have to face the grave or not, Jesus is coming soon. He's coming again to take His church from here. And when that time comes, there's going to be a short 7-year period, and it's going to seem like a long time to you, a 7-year period that is called the tribulation. And you'll see that period, and then at the close of that, when Jesus returns and plants His feet upon this earth, He'll rule and reign for 1,000 years. And so there's your 7,000. There's your 7. And so you can look at the Word of God and enjoy the Word of God. Now you say, Larry, you're stretching that a little bit. Well, that's up to you. I'm ready. I'm ready if He comes. It doesn't matter to me, but it will surely matter to you. And it does matter to me that you don't believe. I hope that you believe. Now, let's back up. I want to bring all that together. So we're looking at that now, and looking at the time is close, so you need to be ready. Now, backing up to the first verse, and again, we've gotten all the way down to verse 9 last time we were together, but I want to review some things. The fourth chapter, verse 1, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. I want to spend a little more time with that, because these unbelieving Jews, they were watching John the Baptist very closely. And they were amazed at the crowds that he would draw. And what was going on here? And what was the problem here? What are we going to have to deal with here? And then just about the time that they were really taking a good look at John the Baptist, he begins to explain very clearly that he is just the forerunner of someone that is much greater than he. And all he's here to do is to introduce the Great One, the Lord Jesus. So now, if John the Baptist was not enough of a problem for the Pharisees and the Sadducees, now we find another problem. That's another person is coming on the scene, and that's the Lord Jesus. These Pharisees, I'm sure that they looked and they studied and they went back in not near enough into the Scripture, I guarantee you that, because if they would have, they would have known that this, without a question, is the Messiah. It's Christ, without doubt. But you see, they do as most religions and churches do today. They look at the philosophy of and the doctrine of the church, which is not built many times upon the Word of God. And so when it's not built upon the Word of God, why then it can go any place, anywhere, any time. And most religions, most denominations, most churches have done just that very thing. They have left the very source of truth, the Word of God. these Pharisees, even though they were the most religious bunch of the day, they did just that. They missed that this was the Messiah because they looked to their own thinking. And part of the problem was that, you see, they were looking for a king. And Jesus didn't come as a king. He come as a humble shepherd's, humble carpenter's son is who he came with, representing and as. And so, and born in a manger in Bethlehem, what can come out of there was their question. So you see, they looked at the logical part of it, just like the scientists do today when they refuse to believe that God spoke into existence what we have today in 7 days, seven literal days. Scientists deny that. Many preachers and religion deny that. They try to stretch it out over a period of days or years or whatever they want to do, and they say, well, 1,000 years is one day. And no, Jesus clearly said the morning and the evening of the first day. And so you see, there's no question that it's a literal day, 24-hour day. And that's what Jesus has given us, created it all just for us. But so many deny the truth and deny it, and these Pharisees did the same thing. They didn't look to the Word of God. They looked to their own understanding, and that's never good. They questioned something here because, again, they saw all the activity, and part of that activity was built around baptism. Now, Jesus baptized none. Now, here when you read that, you might think that it says that Jesus baptized his disciples, but no, his disciples did the baptizing. Jesus baptized none. A couple of things I would like for you to see here, because, again, many religions have brought in the baptism as a requirement for salvation. Many religions, many denominations bring baptism in as a picture, as an to baptize an infant, sprinkling. Well, that's missing everything. You're not following the Word of God at all. I don't know where that you get that back through something or other. I don't know how far back it goes, but wherever you got it from, it needs to be lost again, because the Word of God clearly tells us that baptism is by immersion. And it also clearly tells us that baptism is always after accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now, they have turned it around and they have confused it in saying that when you are baptized an infant, that's when the Holy Spirit comes in and lives within you. And then when you become an adult, then you have a choice to make and on all these things. No. When you become an adult, when you become of the age of accountability, and I'm not going to suggest what age that is because it's different for everybody. God only knows what age that is for you. But I know that the day comes that you know right from wrong is the day that you better trust in Jesus, because you're responsible for your sin at that time. And so at that time, then you need to ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and to save you. And He will. He not only saves you, He seals you, and He keeps you through eternity. Oh, what a promise. What a promise. Now, what does baptism have to do with all that? Baptism shows the people, because I can't see your heart, you can't see my heart. But after I've trusted in the Lord Jesus, I want to show people what has happened. And God has given us this picture called baptism to do that. And you go down into the water, and it shows the old self. And then you go under the water, it shows dying to self. And then coming up out of the water shows a resurrection. And you're in Christ because you have trusted in His death, burial, and resurrection. What a beautiful picture. It takes a little bit of water. You can't do that with a couple drops on your head to do that. Can't do that whether you're baptized as an adult or a child. With sprinkling. And so you see, that's man-made. And also to baptize prior to being accountable, the age of accountability, is wrong. And so you need to see that you've trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior, then follow Him in baptism. I believe that's one reason Jesus did not baptize, because He did not want to give any thought that baptism was connected to Him concerning grace, concerning salvation. So He didn't baptize any. Don't you think that if baptism was part of salvation, that Jesus would have performed that baptism? Wouldn't he have done that over and over and over and over again? Because it's so important, because it's part of salvation, Jesus would have done it. Jesus didn't do it. Jesus did not baptize because it's not anything connected with salvation. It's just showing after the fact what's happened in your heart. It's that simple. Just that simple. You think about that just a little bit. If you've are attending a place that believes that you have to be baptized to be saved. Yes, it's important. It's important to testify what has happened in your heart. That's what's important. But not to lock in salvation. That's not the point. That's not for the purpose. And Jesus baptized nobody. That should tell you right there that the only important thing, Jesus didn't want to confuse us. Believe and then be baptized. Believe and then be baptized. Very clear. He that believeth not is condemned already. Doesn't mention one thing about baptism, does it? Never thought about that. Well, I hope you think about it today, because it is very important that you understand salvation is by grace. Doesn't matter if you're baptized here by immersion. The important thing is, the only important thing is, that you have trusted by faith in Jesus. Now, I believe you'll want to be baptized. That's the very first command. So you'll want to be, but not required to be. And that's the important thing, that you understand that Jesus saves and Jesus alone. Beautiful, beautiful picture that we have right there. And so now that we've looked at that just a little bit, we need to understand as we continue down. We've looked at the departing. We looked at verse 4 just a little bit. Must needs go through Samaria. I want you to see that. Every step that our Lord took is a step of purpose. And it is to fulfill His Father's will. That's the purpose. And so, you see, He must needs go through Samaria. There's a plan here. There's a purpose here. And yes, He's bringing it down to the Gentiles. The Jews hated the Samaritans. They hated the Samaritans so much that they wouldn't even travel through that same country. They'd walk way around. Jesus didn't take this course because it was shorter. He took it because He had needs to go through Samaria. Jesus didn't hate. He had no wicked or evil thoughts against these people or any man. And see, the Jews, on the other hand, they did. They hated Samaritans. And so they had nothing to do with them so much they wouldn't even walk through their ground. They wouldn't even touch their ground. That's how righteous, self-righteous the Jews were. They weren't following Jesus' word or His path in any way. Jesus has come to seek and to save those that are lost. That's what Jesus did. God's saving grace is for whosoever will. And He wasn't going to miss this one opportunity. So you see, He didn't go because of a shortcut. He went because there was thirsty souls. They needed a drink of water. Not just the water from Jacob's well, but the water that He has to offer. Living water, the Scripture tells us. Living water. We're just going to barely get started with the fifth verse. We're not even going to get back to where we were last time we were together. As we look at this city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph, I want you to look between now and the next time we get together, Genesis 33, 18 and 19. And we will begin there reading that verse of Scripture. We find that there is S-I-C-H-E-M, S-H-A-L-E-M, S-H-E-C-K-E-M. All of these are the same city, and that's the city we're looking at here with Sychar. And so this Shechem, this city here, was a city of of refuge when back in the days when Joshua brought the people in. There were cities of refuge. This was one of those cities. And so we have much here, a lot of history here, but we need to, we're going to begin with that fifth verse and look at Genesis 33, 18 and 19 when we start next time. So, my dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?